To the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew here this morning. Chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and the title of this morning's message is Desperate for Jesus. Desperate for Jesus. Desperate for Jesus. I open up with just a simple point I penned in this morning in prayer. Is your situation making you desperate for Jesus? Or creating a way, or creating a distance from Jesus? Is your situation right now that you're currently going through making you desperate for Jesus? Or is it creating a distance from Jesus? Matthew chapter 15. Verse 22. I'm going to open up with this verse and then pray. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you cleanse me, that you wash me here this morning, that you cleanse and wash each and every one of us here this morning, that we may have a focus on your word this morning and not what we walked in with, but a focus on your word. An attentive ear to your word, Lord, that it may be able to fall on good ground, fertile ground within our lives, so that we can fall more and more in love with you, Jesus, and less in love with the things of the world. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Once again, is your situation making you desperate for Jesus? Or is it creating a distance from Jesus? The book of Matthew chapter 15. The title of the message once again is Desperate for Jesus. Desperate for Jesus. I believe too many churches are not desperate for Jesus, desperate in what he has to offer. And even though we're a frontline ministry, a lot of times we too can become no longer desperate to being with Jesus. Is your situation making you desperate for Jesus? Or creating a distance from Jesus? What is your situation doing in your life this morning? I'm going to be speaking about a woman that was desperate. Not so much for herself, but for her daughter, that the opening verse says was demon possessed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to be moving quick. I have a lot to preach here this morning. Amen. Matthew 15, and let's just pick it up at verse 21. I know it says 22 there, but 21. Amen. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. 22 says, the Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." 23 says, Jesus did not answer a word. Here was a desperate woman, And Jesus would not answer a word to her. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. I believe the church of today is no longer desperate for what Jesus has to offer. If we really knew what Jesus had to offer, we would become desperate on a daily basis in our time of prayer, in our time of word, knowing that Jesus is able to do all things. But too many times we're not desperate for what Jesus has to offer because we're out of position. I'm going to show you through the preaching of the gospel this morning that this woman was out of position simply by who she was and how she was coming. But I'm also going to show you through the gospel that she became in position in order for Jesus to grant her request dealing with her daughter that was demon-possessed. In verse 22, the Bible reads that a Canaanite woman from Ephesus came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." So here we, through scripture, find that this woman, his daughter, is suffering terribly from demon possession. Here we find a mother in intercessory, an intercession for her daughter that was not even there with her. Here this mother of this daughter that was terribly demon-possessed, she loved her daughter so deeply that she considered her daughter's problem her very own problem. Here this woman loved her daughter so much that she took on what was the problem of her daughter of being demon-possessed as if it was her very own. We need to take on the inner city of Milwaukee, the sons, the daughters, the fathers, the mothers that are out there, up to the grandparents, the grandkids that are being possessed through sin, being possessed by the lies of the enemy. It needs to become our problem. That's why I can start opening up a service and all of a sudden become desperate and thinking about getting to the rally even before the service starts. Because I know why I was saved. We all need to come to the place to know why we were saved by God. I know my purpose. I know why the Lord resurrected me out of ODing with the needle in my arm 15 times. was to go back to the place where the enemy had me in possession, to take possession of sons and daughters and rightfully bring them back to God. How are we going to be able to connect with the lost and the bound and make their problem our problem? We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus. It's a high for me to talk and say hello around the church after the service, but in the back of my mind, I got jackrabbit in my mind because I got to run. After this, I run through the hallway and I go up to my room and I start taking my clothes and I'm dressing as fast as I can to get back in my car to rush to the north side as if I was going to go score and get high. It becomes priority. My wife says something, yeah. Okay, when I get back. Elias is crying, yeah. Okay, when I get back. I still have the same tenacity of going out there when I wanted to get high. But this time, going out there with Jesus in my life, purpose in my life, vision in my life. Get excited going out there to grab the mic. I get nervous, more nervous when I open up and I start with Victory Outreach and I start going off at the mic. I get more nervous than being here behind this pulpit because again, I know that is the real church out there that God wants to save through each and every one of our lives. I get nervous and you would think, check out Pastor going at it, man. Look at Pastor go. I'm nervous when I'm doing it. So if you get nervous and you get asked to blast on the mic today, it's okay. So do I. 18 years later, I still get nervous holding that mic. We're going to have to make the lost and the bound our problem. They're going to have to become priority. It's got to be a priority of the church. The priority of the church can't be to barely make it to church. But man, we need to make it to the rally today. We need to be used of God today. And we can be used of the enemy for many years. We can be used for God for an eternity. We need to be psyched up, ready in our minds. Man, I wasn't going to the rally, but I'm going now. And Pastor hasn't even gotten to the altar call yet. You need to have a mind made up. Alan, you going to the rally today? Yes or no? He says yes. We need to have a made up mind. No matter what you're feeling like right now. No matter where you thought you were going after the service. We need to have a made up mind. That I'm going to be on 28th and Kilborn. And be used of God. I may not have all the perfect words. I may not have great finances. I may still be drinking a little bit on the side, cussing a little bit on the side, smoking a little bit on the side. But I'm going to make it out there today. Because the word of the Lord says that he's able to use all things. And that includes you and I. We need to start somewhere. I put here, can you imagine if we were to be desperate for our children as this mother was for her daughter? And we're going to come to three reasons what made it so difficult for this mother to have her request granted from Jesus. How many of our loved ones' needs would be met if we were to press in as this woman did? Her daughter wasn't sick, wasn't in the hospital. She was under demon possession. You may say, well, my son ain't doing good right now. My daughter ain't doing good right now. It's lying spirits that come in. But we need to have that desperation that this woman had here. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe. John, the book of John, chapter 14. This is the word of Jesus. This may not be the way you think, but this is the way the Lord wants us to think and believe. John chapter 14, verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The word of Jesus. 3 major obstacles were before this mother in getting results for her daughter from Jesus. And the first one is found in verse 23. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 15. Right before this, she was crying out. Verse 22 says she was crying out to the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering from demon possession. How did Jesus answer? He did in verse 23. Says Jesus did not answer a word. So there was a major obstacle here. The one she was looking for the miracle to come from was being silent, was not speaking, was not responding to her, even though she was desperate. Even though her daughter was demon possessed. And even though this woman was using the right words, there in verse 22, Lord, Son of David, and even though she was crying out and calling for mercy upon her daughter's life, verse 23 says that Jesus did not answer a word. Silence from Jesus. One of the major obstacles. The second one is the disciples. There in that same verse of 23. It says Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. I believe this woman was so desperate that she had been calling out to Jesus for a long while. It was like where it almost became like nagging. She was nagging. She was so desperate that she would continue to ask Jesus for the healing of her daughter that was demon possessed, that was suffering. I believe she was following from behind and she would just keep asking and crying out to Jesus. And Jesus and the disciples are looking. Jesus is not doing nothing about it. He's not even saying nothing. There's times where you'll be going through it and Jesus is going to be silent. He's not going to give you an answer why you need to be obedient. He doesn't always have to give you an answer for you to remain obedient. There's times where Jesus will be silent. And when you're calling out to him, and even though you're desperate, and even though you're coming in the name of Jesus, you'll feel as if you're all by yourself. Nobody understands. Not even Jesus is listening to you. And then it speaks, I believe this was going on for a while. And the disciples were getting mad at this woman, which is crying and crying and crying. Remember, she was a Canaanite woman. She was crying and crying. The disciples finally had enough with her. So instead of telling her to be quiet or leave, they said, well, we know Jesus will answer us. So they went to Jesus. Hey, man, can you tell her to get on? She's driving us cuckoo. All this crying and all this hooping and hollering. The disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps on crying out after us. First obstacle, Jesus was silent. He was not answering this woman's request, even though she was desperate. The second obstacle, not even the disciples wanted her there. They were trying to urge Jesus to tell her to get on. So here, not a word, silence from Jesus, rejection from the disciples. And the third one is in verse 22 that she was a Canaanite. Canaanites were the enemies of the Jews and had been for a very, very, very long time. It was as she was the enemy coming to Jesus for help. The disciples knew she was a Canaanite woman. So three major obstacles that should have stopped this woman straight in her tracks from getting a hold of Jesus, from her request being answered, dealing with her daughter that was demon-possessed. I put here, her faith in Jesus had to be awakened. Too many times our faith in Jesus is a small faith. And sometimes Jesus will be silent to awaken your faith. Jesus here knew what he was doing by being silent. He was awakening the faith of this woman that he knew was a Canaanite woman, an enemy, a Gentile. He was awakening her faith to the true God. Here the Canaanites would serve many little g gods. They had many gods that they would worship. She needed to know that Jesus was the true living God. And he knew that her faith would have to be awakened. That he just wasn't any other God. That he just wasn't any little other G-God that was out there of the many that she was already worshiping. He needed to awaken her faith that he was the true living God. That he was the Messiah. Too many times we come to Jesus with no faith. We just come crying, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. But you don't want to help today at the rally. Help me, Jesus, that darn son of mine, that darn daughter of mine. Help me, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, help me, Jesus. And then you pick up the phone and you call your homeboy, your homegirl. Man, help me with this darn son of mine, this darn daughter of mine. Help me, homeboy. Help me, homegirl. Then you'll call the connection. Man, help me. Help me, man, with my son and my daughter. And you just put Jesus in the same category as the homeboy and the homegirl. You're just calling people, calling Jesus, crying out all the time. Jesus would need to awaken this woman's faith that who she was calling out to was the big G God. There's two ways I put here that people pray. One prayer is a prayer of chance. That's a prayer that is not really expecting Jesus to answer. He might hear. So Jesus, if you can hear me, have you ever prayed like that? Jesus, if you can hear me, like if he's deaf or he got an earache on, and Jesus, if you can hear me. Jesus, if you can see me. Some of you think that Jesus sometimes can't really hear. That's why you say the things you do. Some of you really think that Jesus can't see when you're behind that or that, doing that or that. There's two ways people pray. One's a prayer of chance, not really expecting Jesus to answer. He might hear me, so I'm just going to give it my best shot. And then there's the prayer that is persistent, like this woman had, that was desperate. A prayer that is persistent, a prayer that is believing, that does not take no for an answer. If you know your pastor, I do not take no for an answer. I do not take no for an answer. I do not take no for an answer. Prayer that is persistent, believing that will not take no for an answer, silence for an answer, or allow themselves to become discouraged. In verse 22, the Bible says that she was calling out to the Lord. The Bible says that she was calling out, Lord, Son of David. She called him Lord. We all started like that. I put here in a little note under that verse of 22. We all started like that. Calling out to Jesus. Jesus help me here. Or Jesus this or Jesus that. We all started like that. But too many people are still in that same pattern of prayer years later in the church. In your relationship with the Lord, you're still just calling out to Jesus anyway. In verse 25, it's where the breakthrough would come. The woman, the Bible says that she was not just calling out like she was in verse 22, but in verse 25, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Here's the part of worship. The woman came now and knelt before him. She was not just calling out, Jesus, Son of David, from behind. But now the Bible says through the NIV translation that the woman came and knelt before him and worshiped him as Lord. The first one in verse 22 she would be calling out is, it's a form of religion. I always speak of religion. Religion kills. It don't answer prayers. It's just a tradition we picked up from maybe our parents or grandparents. Religion kills. But here in verse 25, this woman would take it up another notch. Her faith would be challenged. Her faith would be awakened all the way to getting before Jesus and kneeling before him and worshiping him. This is the area that we need to get to. I put here, but not all of us get to this place of worship. Not all of us get to this place of being before Jesus. In position before Jesus. In verse 22, she was calling out over and over a prayer of religion. But in verse 25, she would come before and kneel before him and worship him. Not all of us get to that place of worship, that place of having a relationship with the Lord. We all start calling out like this woman did in verse 22. We all start like that. We really don't know what we're doing. We're just saying, Jesus, Jesus. And he honors it because he knows where we're at. But then he expects us to grow, us to get to the place before him, to be able to worship him, and to be able to come correctly before him. But too many times we stay in the same place out of position. Even though you're in church, you're still out of position. Instead of continuing to grow, you stay in that place where you're just saying, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Why don't you help me, Jesus? Why don't you listen to me, Jesus? Let's look at the positioning. These are between the lines, insight I'm going to give right now. Let's look at the positioning of religion versus relationship. All right? There's a positioning. Let's look at the difference. A positioning between religion versus relationship. In verse 23, the Bible reads, Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. The key word there is after us. To me, my spirit, it shows that they were walking, they were moving, and she was behind. She keeps crying out after us. Tells me like they're moving and she's from the background saying, Jesus, Jesus. She keeps crying out after us. To me, it shows that she was behind trying to get a hold of Jesus. Religion will always call out to Jesus. Religion will always know the terms in calling out to Jesus, but still be out of position for Jesus to move in your life and through your life. Here, this woman was out of position. I believe she was saying the same thing over and over and over. Jesus was allowing her faith to be awakened, that he was the true living God. And at the same time, Jesus had a plan and a strategy that was taking place, and his disciples were saying, man, tell her to get on. So here in verse 23, we come to find out, the Bible says that she keeps calling, crying out after us. Shows me that she was behind them or to the side of them. Verse 25. Let's go back to verse 23. Send her away, for she keeps crying out. Tells me she was behind. Here was the silence of Jesus. Hear the silence of Jesus. My words put here, Jesus' silence was saying, I'm not just another false God. You just can't call upon me anyway and expect for me to answer. The silence of Jesus was saying, I'm not just any other God. You can't just speak to me anyway and expect for me to answer you. Too many times, I believe speaking to Jesus anyway is religion. If you're not careful, you can be even in victory hours years later and be praying a religionist prayer. The silence of Jesus was saying, can't come at me like that. Can't come at me like that. The silence of Jesus was saying, I'm just not any other God. I'm the God. And you need to come before me, right? So here it says that the disciples say that she keeps crying out after us. But in verse 25, the Bible says the woman came and knelt before him. Now there's a different positioning here. Before him. She said pretty much the same thing. Lord, help me, she said. So now from crying out after Jesus, after the disciples, now she went a little bit further in her faith. Her faith was being awakened. Her desperation took her to another level. Her daughter being possessed, Jesus being silent, the disciples trying to get rid of her, being a Canaanite woman, an enemy, should have stopped her. But she pressed in through all that. And now she came and she got to a positioning before Jesus. She was before him. And here is where her faith that had been now awakened through the silence of Jesus would once again ask, but this time her request would be granted. She was positioned before the Lord, worshiping the Lord as the true living God. Too many times we come to Jesus and we go to this person and that person and we try this and we try that and we treat them all even. We treat them even with everything else of the world. He needs to be first in your life. Jesus needs to be, tell your neighbor, he needs to be first in your life. Come on, tell your neighbor. But the person that's sitting next to you that loves you, you need to tell that person too, Jesus needs to be first in your life. Tell that person, even do you love him, saying, you can't be first in my life. Because eventually you ain't going to love me if you remain first in my life. Jesus needs to be first. Here now, the woman came and knelt before him. True worship before the Lord, I put here, will stop him to answer your requests. But too many quit. Too many quit. We got to remain persistent in seeking the Lord. And we need to come correctly. We need to come before the Lord. We need to have the Lord before us. Not our friends. Not some fancy book. Not even Victory Outreach. We need the Lord before us. If you want victory in your life, you're going to need to learn how to position yourself before the Lord, before the throne of God. Because if you don't, the hustle and bustle of every day will have you going the wrong way, even though you're at church this morning. If you do not learn how to put Jesus before you at the beginning of the day, everything else but Jesus will be before you. I choose to put Jesus before me at the beginning of my day. Because I know trial and tribulation is coming. Every day. That I'm going to be forced to make decisions. In verse 26 and 27 of chapter 15, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Usually somebody preaches, they preach on that little 26 and 27 area. I'm not. 27 says, yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And even though Jesus was comparing her to a dog, as he had come for the sheep, the lost sheep of Israel, here the bread that the Lord was speaking of was his word. To me, it was his word. She knew that just a word, a crumb from Jesus was more than enough for her and the healing of her daughter that was demon-possessed. We need to know here this morning, when we come before the Lord and we worship Him, that one spoken word from Him to you can change the rest of your life. A crumb, a verse, a one word from the heart of Jesus to your life can change your life. I was a full-blown drug addict. And even though I didn't know how to pray and I didn't know the Bible, at the altar, Jesus would speak to me. He would speak to me. And even though I came as the enemy, a Gentile, not deserving anything good for the life I have lived, for stealing and robbing my mom and my dad, my brothers, my sisters, and everybody in my reach, from all the years in prison that I did, I did not deserve not even a crumb coming from Jesus. But nevertheless, being at the rehab, being in the men's home, I would come in the very first service and I would come before the Lord, the sinner I was. And I say it again, I simply would say, Jesus, because inside I knew I was a good person. I knew I wasn't a heroin addict, though I'd been one for many years. And even though I did many years in prison, I knew I did not belong in prison. And I would be at the altar broken before the Lord. I didn't stay on the last row. I came to the altar before the Lord. And I said, Lord, my prayer was, if you could take these drugs away from me, I'll do anything you want. If you simply can take this heroin away from me, I'll give you my life. I said it desperate. Because He was ministering to me. It was as if at that point, I knew He was not only speaking, I knew also at that point He was ready to deliver me. With not knowing how to pray, with not knowing His word, at that point, I was in a conversation with the Lord, not even knowing Him. Because I was before Him, worshiping Him, broken, giving them permission to change my life. Too many times we feel just because we come to church that the Lord's supposed to deliver us. When we not give them permission through the act of worship, too many times we shut down the miracle that the Lord wants to do in our life because we do not come before the Lord. And we're calling behind the Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me from a distance. Can He touch you at that distance? Yes, He can. But too many people stay at a distance calling out to the Lord. We need to learn how to grow. We need to learn how to come close before the Lord. On a daily basis, that's what the Lord wants from each and every one of your lives. How to worship Him. Worshiping the Lord is not coming to a Sunday morning service. That's a real beginning start. What He wants from your life is relationship. A relationship that is positioned for Him to be able to deliver you of whatever you need to be delivered of. See, it's one thing to hear the message coming forth right now from my life, and I'm under the anointing right now. It's one thing to hear it from me, but it's another thing to get before the Lord and to know that you're hearing these words from Jesus Himself, not just any little G God, but the G God, the God of the heavens and the earth is speaking to you right now, saying, I want to deliver you. But you need to position yourself. You need to get out of position of what you're currently dealing with, and you need to position yourself before me. I didn't come with Bible knowledge to the altar. I didn't come with a prayer life to the altar, but I was desperate, as this woman was, to be changed of heroin addiction. And when I came to the altar, I did it just because everyone else was doing it. I did it because through the message I was being ministered to, I knew there was a man before me preaching. I didn't know him from Adam's apple, but I knew something was happening. As he was speaking, something was happening and stirring and moving within my life. Something was challenging me to be obedient to the word, to come before the Lord. Are you being challenged this morning? Is the positioning you've been taking working for you? Could you be possibly that woman in verse 22 crying out from behind, from a distance? Year after year after year. Jesus was awakening the faith of this woman, even though she was enemy. He was awakening her faith to come before him, because he wanted to answer her prayer, her request. It's sad when Jesus has the power to answer your condition, to change your condition, but yet you don't come before him. I'm testifying here this morning that Jesus is able to change you, no matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've burned. Jesus is able to change you. And it's one thing to know that and still not position yourself before him in the act of worship for him to do what he really, really wants to do. In the beginning of verse 22 and 21, and she was calling out, Jesus just kept on walking like he was deaf. I believe he didn't even go like, it's a Canaanite woman. I don't even believe he did that. He knows all things. I believe he just kept walking and she was, Jesus, son of David, help me. Do you not think that was pulling at the heart of Jesus? Yes, it was. But he would remain silent. Sometimes Jesus remains silent. Does not mean that he's not there. He's wanting you to seek him, to press in. Too many times we don't want to seek the Lord. I was on my way yesterday to a dog show with Daryl, and I heard Elder Pastor Ed speak all the way as he still lives. It's like, our Elder Pastor Ed's still alive. It was like preaching from Paul, the Apostle Paul. I was there, man. I started thinking about him, all the messages he preached. And he was talking about, people don't like when you tell them, press in, brother. Press in, sister. That people don't like being told that. He was speaking about the veil that had been torn. How many men pray and read, but they don't change, their lives remain the same, because they never enter to the place of the holies of holies. When the veil has been rent, it's been torn. From the top to the bottom, through his life on the cross. There's entrance right now to the most holy place, where Jesus is able to transform your life. But too many times, to get into that most of the holy place, you got to press in. And too many people are on the outer courts praying. See, it's in the holies of holies, where the presence of the Lord is, where the presence of the Lord is able to change the lives of men, the lives of women, the lives of the youth. It's in the most holy place where we're to enter. But sometimes if you want to enter that place, you're going to have to press in. And we're living in a day and age where people don't want to press in and become desperate for the things of Jesus. You've been called to be a pastor. You've been called to be a leader, but you don't want to do what it takes to get there. You know what your calling is. But you remain in the outer courts, calling from a distance. When the veil has been torn, there's just at times we're going to have to press in. You see, it's in the most holy place where all provision, where the answer's at, where the breakthrough's at. But you're going to have to press in. This woman, even though she was a Canaanite woman, she knew who she was. She knew that they didn't get along, the Jews and the Canaanites. She knew they didn't get along. But she pressed in nevertheless. Why? There was a need within her life. Is there a need within your life? You need a need in order to press in. There was a need within her life, and that need was her daughter that was demon-possessed, that was held hostage by demons. She had a need. And here at the end, she positioned herself correctly before the Lord as the worship team makes their way.